say you look good. Maybe they smell good. That's always a win, sit by someone who smells good. Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name's Ethan. It's good to see you guys. If you guys enjoyed going through the book of James, raise your hand if you've enjoyed even just a little bit. All right, I'm looking at you guys. This one's for you. This is awesome. For those of you who don't know, we have been going through this book called James. It's a book in the New Testament, your Bible. So if you got a Bible, you can go ahead and flip over to the book of James. If you got a phone app, you can open up that bad boy. Head on over to James. We're going to be hanging out in chapter 3 today. And as we flip there, I'm just going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this rainy morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit works through me, works through your word, and speaks to every single person in this room, whether they're expecting it or not. Amen. I was talking with my dad in our front yard. Is dad even in here? Ha, perfect. We can talk about him while he's gone. I was talking to dad in the front yard, and he was just kind of doing what dads do, like working on things as he just walks around and working on the yard, working on whatever he was, you know, looking at, he was working on, and I was following behind him, talking to him about things that I was excited about. I was excited about some things in church. I was excited about some new teams, and I'm just kind of going, and he's nodding and saying, hey, that's really cool, son, And I kind of got done with everything I said, and it wasn't like a big sky opened up moment or anything like crazy. He just kind of made this comment, stopped and looked and goes, wow, son, like God's really preparing you for something in your life. That's really cool to see. And I was like, oh, and I kind of just sat with that for a second and thought about that. That conversation that dad and I had was about 15 years ago. Ha, there he is. Just talked about you, dad. You missed it. It was good, too. That conversation that my dad, and it was all good things, hate to call you out like that, but that conversation that we had was almost 15 years ago. I was 18 years old, and I was just getting excited about church and being a part of it, and you said a good thing that I still remember to catch you up, and that was 15 years ago. Guys, I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, right? How is it that I can remember something that was said to me 15 years ago? I think that we have to come to this reality, come to this conclusion that the words we speak, the words spoken over us are so important. What's that old kids, you know, sticks and stones, something like that? That's a lie. Words are so important. They stick with us for years and years and years. When I think about that moment, that time we were having a conversation, I can put myself right back in the driveway, and it was a sunny day. I can just picture the whole thing. I can put myself there, and I can feel the exact things I was feeling in the moment when we were having that conversation. And this is the truth about words. Most of us have no idea how important our words are, probably, and most of us probably have no idea how to use our words properly. We spend all this time learning English in school, which is great. We need to know how to form sentences. I'm still kind of working on that in my writing. I have Grammarly that helps me a lot. Where does the comma go? I don't even know. What are all these things? Okay, we learn how to write, but we really don't know how to use our words in a spiritual sense. What kind of weight is behind every word we speak? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the power of words, and hopefully we're going to walk away knowing how to use our words properly in the church and in everyday life. All right, as everyone found James chapter 3, I give you plenty of time. I'm going to crack off a bunch of verses here. You guys ready? I don't have it on the screen, so you're just going to have to follow along on your own. James chapter 3, verses 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Any teachers in the house? Couple? Yeah, there's a few. You'll be judged more strictly. I'm just kidding. We're going to move on. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man and able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what is a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of a life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise God the Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in God's likeness. Verse 10, out of the same mouth comes praises and curses. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I'm not sure where Owen is, but maybe try to hit this next slide. Let's see what we got. Stop right there. The responsibility of our words. The responsibility of our words. Look at the first two verses. James is saying, not many of you guys should presume to be teachers, because he's speaking of teachers of the Bible, teachers to other Christians. Not many of you should want to be this. When James was writing, this is, we've talked about this a couple of times, this is one of the first books written in the New Testament. So that means Christianity is brand new. People are finding freedom in Christ like they've never had before. And with that, everyone's like, man, this stuff is great. I'll be a teacher. I'll be a teacher. And everyone wants to be a teacher. And James is saying, hold on. This is a great responsibility. And a lot of people were taking a position that God had not called them to, and thus bringing on strict judgment that God was saying, I didn't call you to teach these people. I didn't call you to have authority to these people. And you're stepping into this. And it's a really big deal. So I came up with a little visual that's going to pop up on the screen. Not yet, but came up with this visual. Mr. Briggs, I'm so glad you're here. I was thinking about you the whole time I was writing this, that all those years of trying to teach me math have finally paid off, and you're here to see it. This is awesome. I created a formula, and Mr. Briggs knows that that's a stretch for me. It took a lot of work to get math to sink into this thick skull, but I came up with this formula. Hit the next one. Hopefully it's up there. It should be. All right, here we go. Look at that in all of its grandiose glory. Look at that. Yeah. Took me hours of thinking to get here, so just hang with me. J equals the judgment. Judgment is equal to the words we speak increased by the exponential influence that we have. See? We're getting there. Yeah, it's not too bad. It's simple, but yeah. Thank you, Mr. Briggs. He's my math teacher, for those of you who didn't know that. The judgment is equal to the words we speak and increased influence. If you don't have any relationships, you're just full introvert, and you sit up in your room alone every day, all day, and you say something bad, it leads only yourself astray. All right? That's a fair assumption. But then let's say this introvert gets married and starts to have children. All right? All of a sudden, the words you speak have a little bit bigger influence. Or what about people with a large social media following? We don't think about that, do we? Right? The more we speak and the influence that those words have, the judgment for those words has to increase, James is saying. Whew! Right? If you have employees, right, the words you speak has a great influence on those people. This is speaking about just preaching the word of God, but I think that this equation, where we can take this into a lot of areas of our life, that the more weight our words carry and impact people, the increased the amount of judgment God has for those words. I think this is important for preachers. I was reading this first section like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. You know, this pertains to me too, right? I want this church to grow. I want people to find Christ. I want this to be a thriving ministry. But with that has to come an equal amount of humility and subject to the judgment God has for those who proclaim and teach the word of God. If your influence is growing, your humility should also grow. That's why it's important to be a humble leader. It's important if you're gaining influence, if you're gaining following or whatever, if you're just having more kids, right? That's a bigger deal in your family now. The words you speak have a huge responsibility. And this is a warning for those who take that lightly. There are two primary areas that I feel like that a responsibility of words really, really are important that we need to examine for ourselves. Number one is in our families. This is number one, right? Church is really important, but we're here for an hour, right? Is the responsibility of our words to our family. What are the words that you've been speaking to your wife? What are the words that you've been speaking to your husband, to your kids, right? To your parents? This is number one. The responsibility of our words has to be held accountable in this area, first and foremost. This is the easiest area to slip up because it's the most familiar, right? We think it, we say it, and then it's just how it goes when you have your guard down at your house. And no one is perfect with this. I love James, who's writing the book. He says, we all fall short in this area. So I'm not trying to pick on anyone because James is putting himself into this category. The author of this book of the Bible, he's saying, I fall short, you fall short, we fall short of taming the tongue. And there's a responsibility we need to have. There's a humility we need to have. In our small group, Tony, we've brought this up several times because in those of us with children, that it's a humble experience to say you're sorry to your wife and your kids. And we don't always say the right thing to them, right? It's like, hey, buddy, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have raised my voice like that, right? There's the humility we need to have when we have a responsibility for words. And the second area is the church. The second area is the church. So the first responsibility is your home. The second is the church. There are so many views and people that say just outlandish things in the name of the church, in the name of God. I'm not on social media really at all, but do you remember a few weeks ago when the rapture was happening? You guys, did you see that? What is that, right? Who can just get online and be like, hey, you know, it's October 2025, get ready for the rapture. I saw someone point out a video. It was like, 5 tips when you're getting raptured up, you know, just make sure you, I'm just, what? Who is checking these people? Right, there is a responsibility when it comes to God's word. This is important. This is holy, right? This is the truth, and people take it and we use it for our own benefit. We use it for our own understanding. And when we approach God's word, we also have to take that same spirit of humility. What if God's word proves you wrong in a view you thought you were so right in? Would you admit it? Would you backtrack? Would you say sorry to someone that you thought you were on track, and then you go to God's word and go, ooh, that's not what it's saying. It's a humbling experience. God's word is so humbling, man. I read this and I just, oh, ooh. It's like a mirror that shows you every dirty part of yourself. And are we going to be ones who takes it for what it is and lets it change us? We have a responsibility that when we talk about God's word, we have to do it in the way that God honors God. I've learned this trick too, because sometimes we just want to give opinions, but it's okay to say, I don't know. It's better to say, I don't know, when talking about something in the Bible or about God than say something that isn't correct or offer an opinion that has no basis in the Bible. It's okay to say, let's dig into that. I'm not quite sure. And that's a great place to start. Hit it, Owen. Point number two, the work of your words, the work of your words. I love this next analogy. Look at verse 3 through 6. James is giving some really good pictures of the power of your words, the work of your words. He gives this analogy of a ship sailing, and a rudder is like your mouth. It steers the ship. Could you imagine buying a ticket on a boat, or cruise ship, or a ferry, the car ferry? Let's just say it's the car ferry because we get that one. And the rudder, they just don't control it. They just, wherever it goes. And they sail a ship, and if they crash into land, that's where we end up, everyone off the boat. It would make no sense. We would not board the ship. We would ask for a refund. So many of us steer our lives just like a ship that's not being steered by a rudder. That whatever you feel in the moment, whether it be happy, sad, glad, mad, whatever else rhymes with that, right? Whatever we're feeling in the moment is we let that just come right out of our mouth. And that steers the ship. It steers our whole body. And we have no check, right? The tongue is so powerful. Shouldn't we have this in check? He says that this is a sign of maturity. Someone who is a mature believer, someone who has really worked at it, has their mouth in check. It's really hard not to always speak your mind. It is so hard. So this begs the question, who is in charge of the rudder? Who is in charge of a bit inside of a horse's mouth? I don't farm, I don't know is what that would be. called. Is there an official name for this? Do we have any farmers? A bit? Is that what it is? A bit? Ah, I got it right. Yeah, we don't really use horses anymore, but there's apparently a bit that once you pull it, it steers the horse, right? And it goes the other way, or it goes this way. So who is the one controlling that? Who is the one that is controlling the mouth? Is it us? Is it our emotions? There's some really cool insights in Scripture about this. Listen to this. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. What's unwholesome? Right? That's something to think about too. We'll circle back to that. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who are listening. James says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. And Proverbs 10:19 says, this is hilarious. Dad taught middle school for so long, and this is probably, you could have wrote this on the board. Where the words are many, sin is not absent. Where the words are many, sin is not absent. I mean, the more you talk, the more you're going to dig yourself into a hole, right? But the one who holds his tongue is wise. The one who holds his tongue is wise. I've had that too, where just that emotion bubbles up, and you think of four really good comebacks that this person maybe deserves, and you're just like, it takes every inch of your willpower to hold back the words. And then later you find out, oh, it's a good thing I didn't say that. Ooh, it's a good thing because they're going through something. And if I would have said that, then they would have said this, and it would have gone a whole lot worse, right? The wise holds their tongue. They're slow to speak. Back to that first verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Your speech has a job. Just like a rudder, just like a bit in a horse's mouth, your tongue, your words, it has a specific task that most of us just to completely ignore. That task is to build people up according to their needs. The power of your words is so, so powerful. What you say matters. What you say has power, and it can build someone up or tear someone down. This is probably not a fresh revelation to anyone. We know this, but rarely do we assign our mouths when we wake up in the morning, do we say, self, I'm going to build up every person I see today. No, no one says that. No one thinks that way. We all fall short. This past week, actually 1 week ago, after church, Melissa and I went to Chicago. A lot of you guys know this, for a little church conference, and it was so much fun. We got to meet in a room. It was this huge church, maybe 1,000+ other church folks, and just got to learn and get poured into, and it was fun for Melissa and I to get away and visit, you know, coffee shops and restaurants, and if you have kids and get to get away for a minute, you know that sometimes it's really refreshing just to miss your kids for a change, which is great. That got Evan. Yeah, you know. It's good to miss your kids. It's good to be with them. It's good to miss them. And it was the last night of the conference, and our hotel was really cool. It had this restaurant, and we looked at the menu. We're like, man, this is better than a lot of restaurants in the area. So let's just go here for dinner tonight. So we were at the restaurant, and if you know Melissa, this story won't come as a complete surprise. But we're sitting there, and I was so hungry. Do you guys get hangry? Are there any hangry people? Yeah, I can't think. I can't process anything. I have a hard time holding conversation. All I can think about is the Cajun-style chicken pasta that's coming my way. And that's all that was in my mind over and over. And Melissa's like, hello, are you here? You know, I'm like, yes, I need to eat. Right? I cannot think about anything else. And the food comes, and my food looks amazing. And it gets right in front of me, and it's just beautiful. Cajun chicken. I can smell it, and I know it's going to taste good, and I just start dumping more cheese on there. And Melissa's super hungry, too. I don't know how she has the capacity for this, and she just goes, hold on, and just leaves the table, and it's, I'm going to do something. I'll be right back. I completely ignore her. I'm just like, okay, and I just start shoveling. No questions were asked. I don't know. She could have been packing her bags to leave for Mexico for all I know, right? I'll find her after the pasta. And I hear the table behind me, just someone gasp, and oh, wow, and I'm sort of hearing my own chewing. And Melissa comes back, I think it took a second to even ask her, where'd you go? What did you do? And she goes, I just felt the Lord saying I just should go over to this lady behind us and tell her that her hair looked beautiful. And if you know Melissa, you're just like, yeah, that's kind of on point. And the lady, her response was not, oh, thank you, you know, like your hair is beautiful too. It was, that made my whole life. That was her response. This lady eating dinner, then had a stranger walk up and Melissa just kneels down, your hair looks beautiful. And she just, her jaw dropped down and said, you just made not my day or week, my life. You know, this is just how women must be. I don't know, right? That's important to them, and Melissa recognized that. But the point being, in that moment, what would terrify me is to walk up to a stranger and just strike up a conversation in, like, dinner at a restaurant. You know, you're just like, all these things that I would convince myself of, I'd rather not. But when you follow the Holy Spirit and you assign a job to your mouth and you tell yourself, today, I'm building people up according to their needs. I'm going to speak life into whoever I see, whether it's a stranger, whether it's my wife, whether it's my husband, whether it's my kids, whether it's that employee at work that I just want to say some other things to, right? I'm going to use my words to build them up. Making that decision is all the difference. That's telling your emotions, it's telling your mind, it's telling your impulses that they're not in control of your words and that you are going to speak life to people. All right, last one. Are we there? Yeah, the weight of our words, the weight of our words. Sometimes I feel like our words can be bipolar. I really do. That in a moment we can be saying one thing and then the next moment saying something completely opposite, right? This happens all the time. This verse, look at verses 9 through 12. It says the same mouth can praise God and curse man moments apart. Do you guys remember the story? If you don't, I'll tell you. It's Peter in the Bible. Peter is one of Jesus' closest friends, and he's going. Jesus is going to get crucified, and he's been captured, and people are beating him, and they are accusing him. And Peter, with his mouth, denies his relationship with Jesus Christ. He goes, I don't know him. He says it not once. I don't know him twice. I've never heard of this guy. Three times. A few days later, Peter stands up in front of the same crowd of people and declares that Jesus is king and that everyone needs to repent and follow him. What? Isn't that wild? In John from the Bible, he says, little children, love one another. Yes, be kind, good, love, all this good stuff. And then a few moments later, he passes a Samaritan village and is like, Christ, call fire down this village and burn it up. I'm tired of these people, right? The same mouth. We're so bipolar. We say one thing and we do another thing. And even some of us here, you're right, we're screaming at our kids on the way to church, be quiet, you know, and shoving them in their car seats. And we get here and, you know, gratitude, and we raise our hands and we praise God, right? I've been there. Right? Our mouth is just all over the place. And I started the sermon saying that, hey, this is a moment that really built into my life, right? Something that was said 15 years ago. I still feel it today. Just as easily as the mouth can build someone up, it can tear you down. I bet if I were to pass the mic row by row, person by person, and we were all honest, you could point to a moment in your life when someone said something that tore you up. And when you think about it, you just are transported right back in that moment and you feel the shame, you feel the discouragement, you feel the weight of that moment, right? Jake's gonna play us some background music in a sec. We're gonna respond with the song, but before we get there, I want you guys to lean in with this, that I believe that people have spoken things into our life that are not true. People have said lies about your identity, about who you are, about your importance, about your appearance, about your sexuality, about anything about you. People have said these things, and maybe you're holding on to these today. Maybe 20 years later, you can put yourself back in the shoes of adolescent you, and you can remember what that teacher or friend or parent or cousin or sibling said about you, and it just tears you up. Or even worse, the things you say about yourself, right? Some of us have been speaking lies to ourselves, and we say it so often that we believe them, that you're never going to be anything, that God doesn't love you, that you're this or you're that, or you're never going to amount to this or you're never going to amount to that, and you hold on to it to this very day. But I want to show you something. This is good. Do you know how God created the whole world? Do you know how he created you and me and the stars and the sea and the land? He spoke. He used his words. The Bible says he said, let there be light. And just explosion happened and light. And he said, let there be waters. Water just shows up. Let there be animals and let there be trees. And as God spoke it, his word is so powerful. Matter had no choice but to just follow the will of God. His words are so powerful that when he speaks it, the universe aligns. He says stars go there and the stars go there. He says atmosphere appear. He says mankind come out of the dust, and man just takes his breath and comes out of the dust. His words are so powerful. These are the words that matter, not the words of whatever that person said to you in a classroom all those years ago that you still carry with you today, that hurtful word that someone spoke over you. What does God say about you? What did God speak about you? Does anyone know that? Well, perfect. You're in the right place. Let me tell you. God says that he so loved the world, not the trees and the plants. He likes those things, but he means you. God so loved you. He sent his son to die for you. And not only that, while you were bad, while you were rebellious, while you were a sinner, God died for you. This is how he feels about you. That Christ loved us first so that we can love others. That you are fearfully and that you are wonderfully made. Do you really believe that? That you are fearfully and wonderfully made? That God loves you so much exactly the way that you are? I think very few people really, really believe that, even if you've been a Christian for a long time. Zephaniah 3:17, that's a real book of the Bible, Zephaniah. I'm not trying to pull one over on you. Zephaniah 3:17, this is one we should all memorize. It says, the Lord God is in your midst. That means he's not away, he's not absent, he's not looking away from some distant space area, right? He is in our midst. He's here with us. He is a mighty one who will save. A mighty one who will save you. Listen to this. And he will rejoice over you with gladness. Is that the picture you have of God in your brain? That he's in your midst and he's happy? Do you ever have a friend that walks through the door, like your best friend or brother or sister? When they walk through the door, you're like, hey, and you shout and you're happy to see them, and they shout. And it's like the party has begun. This person has arrived. This is what the verse is describing, the presence of God. That when he comes into our presence, he's like, yay, I'm so glad to see you, Scott and Kathy and Will and Diane and everyone in this section. Right? That he is happy to see you. He rejoices. He looks forward to being in your presence. Oh, this is crazy. And then he says, he will quiet you with his love. I envision those words, those lies, those doubts that I will never, God won't love, all the stuff racing in your brain. He quiets you with his love. And he exalts over you with singing. We sing to God a lot. This verse saying he sings to us, ooh, that's weird. God loves you so much that he's going to quiet your doubts with his love, and that he will exalt you with loud singing. That God loves you so much. And it's time for some of us. I'm hoping that we leave this morning not burdened by the lies of the words that were spoken over us. Some of us need to shake it off. And I hope that this morning is that cornerstone moment when you leave here not believing those things anymore. That you know the words to speak over your life when those doubts creep back in. It says you'll never be, you'll always be. And they just start to bring you down. You'll know the words to speak. So this is what I want us to do. Can everyone just stand up? And we're about to just jump into some song, but I don't want this to be a song that we're singing at the end of church. Can you do me a favor? Can you make this a prayer that you're singing from the depths of your soul to a God that loves you, who wants to break every chain from your life, who wants to destroy every lie you've ever believed about your childhood, about who you are, about your appearance, about your success, about what kind of father you are, about what kind of mother you are, about the failures you think that you're carrying with you. Let God break off every single one of those. The crazy thing about that verse in Zephaniah doesn't say, oh, when you blank, God will blank. It says right now, God in your presence rejoices over you. He exalts over you with loud singing. He's happy to be with you, just for existing, just for taking breath. He is so glad that you are his son and that you are his daughter. So as we sing this, guys, make this your prayer. Sing this all week. Sing it all day. This has already been stuck in my head. But just raise your hands. Sing it with your whole heart, because God is speaking over you now, and he wants to break off all of these doubts and all of these lies in your life. Will you guys just sing with Jake? Prayer team, if you guys want to head over here, guys, we're going to dismiss. And if you just want to continue in this spirit of praise and just kind of hang out in this moment, go hang out here with the prayer team, and they'll love to pray with you. If you need to talk about one of these instances that you just can't seem to shake and you need some extra prayer for, this is a great time to just head on over there and let them pray for you. Let them put a hand around your shoulder and love on you and pray for you. This is what a church family is all about. I'm so excited that you guys came this morning. I hope that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. And I pray that you can just sing that over yourself this week. Continue to shake off those false identities and those lies. I'm excited to be with you guys next week, next Sunday. And I don't believe I have any more announcements. You guys are free to go. You're dismissed. We'll see you guys soon.